everything you know. You are the last day church. The devil unleashes against the last day church more wrath, possibly, than we have ever seen. What are the two times? Let me show you what happened with the life of Jesus. Are you the body of Christ? When was the first time the Lord Jesus was attacked? Almost immediately after he was born, they sought the life of the child. Did you hear me? Do you know who was the primary character that sought it? Herod was his name. Herod was the king of... You don't know. Just say it. Who did he rule over? Jews. Herod ruled over the Jews. Herod Agrippa, any and every Herod, was the official king of the Jews. But Rome ruled over everyone else. So they will come to your country. Hey, we'll kill you all if you don't submit to us. And you submit. Rome was the extension of Babylon. So you submitted. Or they would destroy you. But you could still be in power and control your people for us and pay us tax and do whatever we say. But you can go on with your society. Rome ruled over multiple nations of the earth like that. Just like Babylon had. And then Persia. And then Greece. Now, Rome. Jesus was born in the time of Rome. But the first person that came after him was not Rome. It was Herod. Herod. He came to his own, they did not receive him. It was his people. It was the political figure, civil leader of his time. They are the ones that came after him. It was the civic leaders of the people of Israel, the authorities that be, the king of his time. In trying to kill him, he killed all the babies from 2 years down. Because based on the calculation he got, the time that they saw that star first and all of that, and they expected the Lord Jesus to be born, he would have been about 2 years. I've told you Jesus was between 3 months to 2 years. The wise men, for those who don't know, did not come on the night Jesus was born. They didn't come to the manger. They went to the house. It's written like that in the Bible. Jesus had been born. Okay? He had been dedicated in the temple. All of that had happened. You have to be 33 days before you're dedicated as a male. 33 days had passed. That one we are sure of. After that, if based on calculations on when a certain star appeared, it can be known from computer configurations. The heavenly bodies have a fixed pattern. That's why you can know what will happen in 200 years. You can know the position of the stars in 200, 300 years. You can know all the way back. You can know all the way forward because it's a fixed pattern. So with computer modeling, just it's easy. Astronomy. That's the way it is. So you can estimate, when was the time that the constellation Virgo, the Virgin, was positioned with the dragon, Drago, all that stuff. All right, forget it. The whole point is this. The Lord Jesus was at risk as he was born. So they said, we saw his star. The star of the one who will be king of the Jews. Who are the people? The Magi, who used to be their head years before Daniel. The prince, 70 weeks. They had calculated all of it down. These were them. They came down. Daniel was long gone, but his school of wise men. So no, this is that time. That's the star now. Have you noticed? Give me that telescope. That's it. It's him. He's born. They traveled. The people in his place were blind as they are today, walking around. These people came from an ancient prophecy. Were they wrong? The Bible tells you the Magi came. They were right. Jesus was born. They were exactly on time. That means it's possible to know. You know, taking delight in ignorance and acting like nobody knows anything, that's your personal problem. I've told you people, we will know before the day of the Lord. Because the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4 that we will know. And chapter 5. Go around quoting verse 2. Nobody knows the day or hour. Can you just read down to the next two verses where it says you should know? Mm-mm. You wonder, but how could so many people make the same mistake? It's called a stupor, a spirit of blindness. It sits on people. And you can be looking at something in front of your face and never see it. Why do you think we perpetually ask for eyes to see and ears to hear? You won't see it. It will be in front of you. You will kill the Lord of glory. You will kill the one you have been waiting for. You'll be praying. On the day you're killing the Messiah, you'll be praying, Lord, let your Messiah come. This has been what people do. And if you're not careful, you end up doing the same thing. You don't have humility. You don't love the truth. You don't admire mercy and justice and righteousness. You disqualify yourself. The Lord Jesus was attacked as a child. 3 months to 2 years was his age. And the wise men came to the house where he was. And they brought out gifts. They didn't go to the manger. They had long left that place. Long. That was where he was born. They don't even know if he even slept there the next day. He just had to be born there. Yes, because he kept company with the lowly. It was deliberate. And the only people that could see him on the night of his birth were shepherds. Faithful shepherds who were in the field. It wasn't winter. It was not Christmas. You can't stay outside in the field in winter to do what? So the Bible says the angels appeared to them and told them, and they went in and sought. So the shepherd the great shepherd of our souls was first visited by shepherds. Those who have his heart, they were the only ones invited for that welcome service. You needed to be a certain kind of person to make yourself available. Till today, if you pay the price and not seek God in the big and high and mighty places, those wise men were wise because they followed Daniel. But their head kicked in. So they went to a king's palace to look for a king. And the Lord showed, the star they couldn't find anymore. And when they came out to search, then they saw the star again. And when they went back to following the prophet's words, Daniel and the rest that have prophesied, when you stick with the word, you will find Jesus. The moment you depart from the word, your head kicks in. You'll be looking for Jesus amongst those who want to kill him. I don't know if you're hearing me. The moment you are following the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the word, you will see the star and you'll be directed aright. The moment your head kicks in, you lose sight of the star and you of course now, is he not the king of the Jews? Where else will he be? Who is the king of the Jews? I bet. Where is Herod's palace? Is it this road or this one? So their natural mind kicked it. Till today, people are looking for the Lord in big and shiny places. You didn't learn anything from Jesus. When you don't learn anything from what the Lord has given as an example, you don't look at men. You don't look at the natural. You don't think natural to access the spiritual. You keep your eyes above, looking unto Jesus, the one who began and ends it. Set your mind on things above, Colossians 3 from verse 1, not on things of the earth. You have to keep your eyes up, looking up to heaven, not on the hills. Your help will not come from them. Exalted people. So as they lifted their eyes again, they found the star again, and they were led to the house. The star came and stood over the house where he was. And they brought gifts fit for a king. They didn't bring gifts fit for a poor person. They didn't get there. Give me that bag. Put those things inside. Bring the other one out. Is it full? Open, open, open. They didn't get there. Oh, we brought things for a king. Oh, madam. I see. Well done. Okay. Well done. This place seems small, tight. We are humble. I've shown you before that they were so poor. The Bible said, give a lamb or pigeon. They gave pigeon. The Bible writes it clearly. I've shown you. The Bible writes directly, if they are too poor to afford a lamb, let them give a pigeon. They gave a pigeon when they dedicated Jesus. It's clear. You wouldn't know if you didn't go and read it in the law. They were poor. Joseph and Mary were poor people. Why did they get there where everywhere was occupied? Because she was pregnant. Scratch the donkey. She walked. That's why she went into labor. Sharp, sharp. If you don't know, women, older women know, younger ones may not know. When you want to put to bed, stand up and walk. Move. Don't lie down. Start walking up and down. Start walking up and down. The baby will come faster. Things will be smoother. Have you heard me? All this fear that, how many of you did not know? Drop your 1,000. When your stomach is big and it's time for bed, walk. It's contrary to your thing, but you know it's labor time. You've set labor has set in order. Move. Do the opposite. The child will come fast. So as Mary, Joseph, they just complete the journey. The child came. Now, they didn't get there and look and say, oh, okay, sorry, 1 second. It's not exactly a king. He brought gifts for a king. Let's just bring out one woman. Okay. And this is something for the child. You give him. One of the bottles of myrrh. How many did you bring? 50 bottles. We can give 2. This is myrrh. The stuff kings use as perfume. Where's the gold? Sorry. This is 50 coins of gold, pure Babylonian gold, top price in the market for the child. So you greet your husband when he comes back. You'll be going. We are coming. You're laughing. That's what most of you did when you came to Jesus. Oh, you do it every day. I preach against it every time. You don't hear me. You go and sit down in a class, wait for a lecturer for 4 or 5 hours. You keep waiting. You didn't plan it at all. You came out for something. They detained you. You wanted to apply for something, a scholarship. They wasted your time. They said 7 o'clock in the morning. You didn't sleep. Properly, it's around 4 something. You closed your eyes. You woke up. You set alarm for 6. You woke up, had a bath, didn't even think of eating. You went and waited. People that were to start by 7 arrived by 1. But who doesn't want better? You stayed, and that scholarship you did not get. You endured hunger. You endured stress. That day you left that place by 3:30, and you were amongst the first people. You endure all sorts of things for anything. Then when you come to Jesus, how long did they stay? God is watching you. When it's Jesus, you give it, you bring out crumbs of a little. No, I can't give my money like that. Don't give small now, office. You know what someone has? You know. How much do you put? 300. I want to put 2. And I said, let me add 100 then. Now, which I felt that, you know, the Bible says, she that sows generously. So that's why I put 300 now. Maybe they go now. What are you waiting for? I want to, let me just pick up this thing. Madam, will you be ready fast? I put 2. Oh, noodles. I'm buying noodles. I said, the egg. She said, it's still boiling. It won't take long. 5 minutes. Okay. 2 eggs. How much everything? Seven. Do you have chicken? I just put 2 slices. Oh boy, get my yes, I'm celebrating. I finished that. How much? 1. Okay, 1,000. Do you have change? Okay, add the other piece. So 1,500. Normal. These are the ways your mind is wired to despise, because he's in a manger. So you despise. No, those wise men were wise enough. They dropped exactly what they brought. They did not look and say anymore. They had stumbled already. They had already made the mistake of thinking that he should be born in a human palace. They didn't make it again. Now they were listening to God. When they left there, after they gave the proper offering, a gift for kings to a poor man and woman and the baby, the Holy Spirit told them, don't use that road you were using. Do not go back to Herod. They intended to go back. Oh, we found him, oh king. He warned them. They were warned in a dream. Use another way and go back to your land. And that's how they left. And Herod did not know where to find this child. Those who give to the Lord Jesus, let's return people's things and live before police. Those who give to the Lord what he deserves as king of the whole universe will receive directives to help them overcome the schemes and plans of the kings of the earth. It depends on which king you worship. Now, for those who worship earthly kings, you worship earthly people who are positioned well, I am sorry, there's a price. You cannot serve 2 masters. When these guys choose to still serve, be servants to this baby king, they began to receive directives from the military installations of that king. Their service, their worship was to the true king. So they got his help. A king who was so mad, so angry, how do you know he may have even assassinated them too? This guy killed every child from 2 years down that was male. He killed all. Every single one. How could he have the heart to do it? In Jerusalem, he killed all. Every male child. He did not mind the sorrow. He did not mind the pain. He took them from all the mothers and fathers and slew them. The one person that was not in town, again, because of his connections to heavenly direction, was the very one he was looking for. Thankfully, the man that was chosen to marry his mother was a righteous man who feared God. And the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. And he got up in the middle of the night and traveled to a strange country with a baby and a woman. If he had slept there that night, he would be dead. Imagine the submission it takes to do a thing like that and not say, don't worry, I'll do it in the morning. So they were out of town before the hunt began. Satan doesn't know everything. But as they went out of town, they had gold for a king, frankincense for a king, myrrh for a king. I can assure you they're not tiny bottles. So even if he left everything they had sustenance, which is how God taught me to live. Be contented. I'll provide your needs per time. Up till this time, with your poverty, you had food to eat and clothes to wear. Joseph and Mary. You're okay. All right, you're about to travel abroad, and that will not be enough. I'm going to send an upgrade to your account. The moment it hits. Now, this is how Jesus was provided for before it became super supernatural. Before he started multiplying the food. Probably, maybe after Joseph died. Then he would go like, Mama, why are you looking sad? Say, there's only 2 cups of wheat left. Say, no, Mama, it's not a problem. Don't worry. Bring the big drum. And he would do an Elijah and Elisha. Oh, you think Jesus was the first person that multiplied food? No. Elisha had done it, so he multiplied. Or you think his mother had a brainwave on doing their relative's wedding? The relative's wedding. She basically came to him and said, do that thing you do. And he was like, woman, stop. It's not time. And she's like, this is my relative. I like them too much. Come, all of you servants, stand. Don't go away. Anything you say you should do, do. She left. When you have a group of, you went for a wedding occasion and the ushers stand around you. That's too much attention. He didn't need the attention. So he had to tell them, get the drums. I've calculated for you how big those things. 30 perkins apiece. The equivalent to about, how much did I say? 180 to 120 liters each. Jesus, I used to miscalculate. I came and apologized. Jesus generated something in the realm of 800 to 1,000 something liters of wine in something he didn't want to do. This is when he doesn't want to do it. I wonder how it will be when he wants to do it. So before he hits that dimension, when his parents, who did not have his faith, were younger, like earlier days, when he was younger and the parents were there, they provided finances. They were contented people. You don't understand. They tell you that the one which is in your wife's womb is the Holy One of Israel. How do you pray? You don't understand. You guys, my father, I thank you for this, my wife. Rapata. Randiba Musata. On behalf of this child to provide his needs, Father God, we ask for a Rolls Royce. A befitting vehicle. A befitting. For you are not a poor girl. You'd have dragged heaven. The angels would have moved up and down and be like, what did Joseph want again? He would not carry the child on behalf of this child. I demand, I place a demand. If it seems it's not, well, don't carry the child. Don't leave the child. So. You guys do understand that this angel, Jesus created the angels. Oh, he has not entered your head. You don't even understand what was happening when Jesus came to earth. You don't understand. Creation went like, the only time they gave them small chance, bah, they appeared, filled the sky, and began to sing. Hey, glory be to God in the highest. I'm sure God had to say, enough. And just a few shepherds, they say, oh yeah, see, please. Say, okay, just to those shepherds in that one field. Angels had to restrain themselves. You didn't hear when Jesus said, wait, Peter, I think you are, you don't know if I ask for now. Do you know where a legion is? About 6,000. I could ask for multiple legions of angels now. They'll be here now. You think this is a power tussle? Peter! Wait, you think that this skill, they want to kill me now, is because when the people following you are blind, it is very hard. Jesus was like, will you put that sword back there? You think that is this fight? This is a plan being implemented. The Lamb of God must die. What? First time when he was a baby. Second time when he was an adult on his way out. Those are the two times the body of Christ is attacked. Early church. Have you heard anything about what happened to the early church? Are you sure? In this house, did we read it through the whole book? Did we read through the whole book? Jesus Freaks? We didn't finish. How are you sure? Were you in charge? Were you involved in putting it out? I would doubt we finished because it's quite a big book now. So we're posting stories from Jesus Freaks some years ago. Jesus Freaks, DC Talk, a musical group in the United States of America, DC Talk, I've heard them. You know, and there's that movie, God's Not Dead, part one or part two. God's Not Dead, some Christian movie like that. And that musical group that was singing with the black guy and all that, that's DC Talk. Now that group put together books, stories. They collected stories, modernized it a bit, of persecution through the ages. So it's called, I have one hard copy, but the soft copy is, you know, floating around somewhere. You can get a soft copy. And it contains stories of people, martyrs, people laying down their lives, being killed for Jesus. Everything you read there, everything you've heard is what happens when the body of Christ is small. I'm here to remind you that they will come for him again when he's mature and about to enter into glory. Oh, you wanted to share in his glory and not share in his persecution. All these years, you've been using his name. Psalm 115 verse 1. So your name, unto your name be the glory. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. Because of your loving devotion and because of your faithfulness. So I would like to inform you in one fell swoop, in case I have to talk about these things more and more. I've spoken many stories about persecution. In recent times, I've calmed down. I only talk about small things like not piling up money, which is nothing, and some of you think it's scary. This is nothing. When we talk about your leg being cut off and your hand and your ear, what will you now do? Now, the church, as it has been constructed, and its teachers, who have proven many of themselves to be false teachers, as was prophesied in 2 Peter chapter 2, have not prepared the church for the last days. And because of that, many will turn their back on God and say God is not real. Simply because you were not prepared. Simply because you were not told what to expect. Jesus told his disciples what to expect. He told them. He said in Matthew 24 and other passages of scripture that they will persecute you. He said this is what they will do to you and this is what they will do to you. But when it happens, he also told them what to do. Example, don't prepare what you're going to argue. Don't sit up drafting. Don't do any of that. When the time comes, I'll give you what to say as an example. He also told them if they persecute in this city, flee to the next city. He said different things. Persecution, preparation. Why are people not taught those things today? Because our God can never allow. So every time persecution hits Christians almost all over the world, they are completely wrecked. Because they never prepare for it. Because the message you preach does not allow for any persecution. That is like telling you that don't worry about the exam. Don't read. Don't bother. It's going to be a walkover. Don't you know how to say ABC? It's ABC. Don't worry. Is that help? Is that kindness? Why would you love someone that tells you not to prepare for your exams and then you go and fail woefully? It's so bad. It's not none of the letters they use after someone passes exam. It's not F, it's G. You were completely unprepared. You didn't attend classes. You did nothing. Because they told you, as a child of God, and you prefer such people. And they don't prepare you. Or is it when I talk about, you know, today I was reading some things about it. I saw just for some, not too long, about Paul King. And I was understanding something. I've told you stories about Paul King. Paul King was one of the most accurate prophetic giftings in the Western world. And possibly, God knows, you know, William Branham was exceedingly accurate. Paul King was exceedingly accurate. Specifics on a level so far, and he started small. But today I got to understand his father was Jewish. And I was like, there's that condiment. But he wasn't involved in his life at all. He had three siblings. Two of them died before they were one in the month of June. Strangely, his very spiritual mother had a very spiritual mother who was so prophetic that she sees visions with her eyes open as a norm. And when you say you can't see what she's talking about, she puts her hand on your shoulder and you start seeing. As she's touching you, your eyes are open. She removes it. So his grandmother and great-grandmother. So he had that in his lineage. Now I just got to know these things. I didn't know that before. But I also got to know that they did not discipline him because of his calling. A child that before he was born, the mother had tumor. One, she could die from it. It's called tumors. Three tumors in her belly that the child would not even survive. She had tuberculosis. That one too is a terminal disease. It will kill you too. She had a heart condition. That one will kill you too. Then I've forgotten the fourth one. She had four afflictions. Each of them by itself can kill you. She had four, only her. Cancer was the fourth. Her breast was gone. And she kept saying, Lord, you promised me a child. And she was pregnant 8 months. And an angel appeared and put his hand on her shoulder and said, you shall have the child. You call him Paul, for he preached the gospel as the apostle Paul of Rome. And disappeared. And she had a new breast. She was perfectly healed from top to bottom. She was 44 years. She lived till she was 105. And she was not sick. She became brandy and just lived. Now that's his background as a child. Now because of how supernatural that was, they didn't discipline him. Let me give you a warning in case you didn't have a father figure in your life. You are more prone to homosexual temptation. That's something that has been observed. I've said it before, saying it again. Or you have a father, but he's a very weak figure in your life. Your mother, strong women, all that. You risk certain temptations. Make sure you don't fall to it. The devil does different things to achieve different purposes. I've told you about how Paul King was involved in homosexuality later. That might not be a big deal to you if you don't understand how impossibly prophetic and anointed he was. He will give a prophetic word and it will be confirmed with an earthquake, a real earthquake where buildings would fall. He would say beforehand, I'm going to do this. And it will happen. And they'll ask, is there a sign that will come with it? Say, oh yes, there'll be an earthquake. And the earthquake will confirm the word. I'm preaching from Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3. By 3:33, an earthquake happens. You can't fabricate this. His unction, body parts will grow out, all sorts. As a boy, 9 years old, 10, he will arrive in a meeting like this and he had already seen multiple parts of the meeting. So if you just say, there's someone there, this that happened, there's this that. He was, as a child. Another thing I found about him newly, I never knew, is that at a time he had 7 cars. He lived it up. More houses, he lived it up. And he saw servants of God all around him in that great move of God in the 50s. At a time, he had the biggest tent, younger. And he saw man of God after man of God fall. When power, the way Kenneth Hagin described that time, he said, power was so healing. He said it was like healing was in the air. It was so easy. The power of God was everywhere. You had servants of God. People said that book called God's General contains some of them. There was such availability of power to heal and do miracles. And Paul King was in the middle of all of that. But he was so broken by that at the time, he pulled out and disappeared for about 25 years and slept on his mother's couch. Now you would say, so he humbled himself. Someone so anointed. Yes, he was. God was still moving with him. The guy that was talking was saying his assistant, his PA for how long, said that he saw him and he would meet people. Different people met people. Anybody that met Paul King, you can't be the same. It's not possible. But R.T. Kendall, who knows that name, talked about forgiveness. There's a book somebody about this. R.T. Kendall. R.T. Kendall says he joined his church group. And hear this, for those of you that rebellion seems to flow in your blood. And I've warned you many times though. It's just that when you hear about someone as anointed as Paul King, and I've told you, and I tell the story, there are people that will say, no, you shouldn't mention the name. So I won't mention the name of the living. Why do you mention Abraham's name? Mind yourself and shift away. Why do you mention David's name or Moses' name? I can avoid mentioning those that are still alive. You cannot mention those that are dead. Then how will you learn anything? You will not have any fear. Neither will you have respect. You will not respect the scriptures that say, let him that thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. Because you keep not knowing that it's not about the power. You've heard me preach it from day one till now. That power you will see. You will see power till you can't believe it. Paul Cain, them used to say that the power they walked in is small. That the last day church, the power they will see. Bob Jones, these are people that they used to hear. Their friends would say, this guy goes to heaven the way you go to the supermarket. Because they're like, boom. They're like, oh, I was just in heaven with the Lord. And he said, and you're like, you're joking. Till everything they say comes to pass. And R.T. Kendall says, he came and said, I really, really want to join your church. Westminster Abbey Chapel was a pastor in Westminster. And he accepted him as a church member. He said that he felt it, that he went because he was such a nice man. They were so close. Before I met him, it was like, this is the brother I've never had. And all of that. But he said from the day they accepted him as a member of the church, he didn't answer his calls anymore. This is someone that they would fish. Their family, they were close like this. Said from the time they accepted him as a church member. And he said he saw him after 2 years once. This is Paul King. You don't understand. Paul King can give you every, he can read you everything. He stands here. He could be in any meeting. It doesn't matter which group it is. You believe in God. You must believe in God. Wait, talk like that. You have this thing. You're healed. Like that, it's over. Super anointed. You think you've heard stories of anointed people. You haven't heard Paul King's story. Why don't you know him? Because he disappeared for so long. He came up from that great move of all those names you've heard of. Generals. He was in the midst of it and he went back and stayed. And humbled himself. They came out and got proud again. Which is why you never say that you have paid your dues. What do you mean? Have you heard people give that phrase? You paid your dues. What exactly do you mean by that? Oh, you have accomplished all righteousness. You don't need to be careful again. You will be dead. Spiritual is worse than physical. Physical death is not the big deal. It's a spiritual death. And this man, whom he had said, okay, I'll submit. You'll be my pastor. I'll be under you. They were both ministers in their own right, highly anointed. This one a teacher of the word. This one a prophet. And he said, I want to be part of this church. I said, from that day, he said he wouldn't answer his call. He couldn't understand. He called him. He would pray for him. And when he saw him, he said, who are you accountable to? The mere fact that he could tell someone of this stature to be accountable. And I look at some of you. Hey, God. This guy was in his 50s, if not 60s. And this was someone about his age mate telling him, you're not accountable, if not younger than him. Sir. You said I'm your pastor. You are not accountable. And told him, if you don't change, you will be a man of yesterday. He said he cried because some of you are like that. I've seen it. And when they talk, you go all humble. See, he cried. I've heard a similar story with a great servant of God in Nigeria too. And he said, Pa Elton talked to him and he wept. As he got up and walked out, I don't know how to say this safely because this is from people who were there. And they said, Pa Elton said, I won't see him again. And that man went on to be a great force in the church in Nigeria and almost everybody followed him. And the Nigerian church is like this still today. You don't understand it. You don't understand the implication of long-term error. You think you do. You don't. You don't understand the implication of long-term error. See, when error is fresh and young and has gone on for 2 weeks, why some of us get very alarmed is because we don't look 2 weeks down the road. We look 20 years. And what we see, real prophetic vision is not about seeing something. Right now, I see a fly. It's green, flying around you. No, real long-term prophetic vision, the type the prophets in the Bible have, is the type that says, like Moses, Jerusalem will wax fat and thick. They are seeing far down. That's Deuteronomy 32. You're seeing down, far. You're looking at someone's actions today. I think that's why some of you continue being stubborn. Because you're blind. You see 1 foot. This is how far you see. So when I speak to the average person, I don't make alarm about 1 foot things. It is what my wahala, the thing I sometimes wish I could just keep quiet, is because I'm seeing you in 15 years. I don't see short term. I see long term. I see these actions carried on and my heart quakes. He said he told him you'll be a man of yesterday. And yours truly. He left there. He still da 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 da. The way he said it in this thing he wrote when he died. This was his close friend. You know, people like Rick Joyner, Mike Bickle, and you might not know most of them, but you should, because some of them head ministries that are one meeting like this, there are 20,000 people inside. You should understand. Massive. They have worldwide influence. IHOP. Mike Bickle is IHOP, International House of Prayer. They pray 24/7. Groups of people, teams of people. They have a whole campus. It's massive. Multiple praying rooms. People travel from around the world to go and spend 3 months being in IHOP, giving you context. Now, those are the kinds of people, these people, Paul Kane was a father to. But Artie Kendall, he was a brother to. Who was also the one he was to submit to as a pastor figure. To people like Regina. Regina said, Paul Kane is the closest person to a spiritual father that I have. Paul Kane's, Regina's influence is worldwide. It's worldwide. Apart from the many books he's written. These are the people that give a prophet to, and people are acting on everywhere. You may not know who gave it. And others like that. Now, those were like son figures. Not that he raised them per se. They're more of like people who came to this elderly man, helped him welcome, gave him a platform to preach, things like that. And then he taught them some things. These are the kinds I would tell you, like Bob Jones, I would tell. Your wife is going to give birth to a child. When it's born, it will weigh 4. This Bob Jones, it will weigh 4 pounds. It will be born on the 8th day of the 8th month. That kind of specifics. Everything specific. He's telling you this long before. You can't make these things happen. And the child is born at that time, weighs the weights. Everything. So, that's what I mean by father figures. But these were like sons who helped them too. But Artie Kendall said he died with a dark, dark cloud over him. They disinvited Regina from his burial, his funeral, right? Why? Because he said, he told the truth. He said, up till Paul Kane died, there were still reports coming about him, making homosexual advances towards people. How could someone so anointed, like nobody else we have heard, be so messed up? A man's pride will bring him low. God gives favor to the humble. Now, if you think you walked in any power, if what I'm saying, this man died at 89 years of age and was operating in power and unction from when he was 9. His birth, I've told you about. What's your own experience, I beg first? What do you say is your experience? On what basis can you be proud? And this man was struggling with drunkenness. Struggling with 2005, I've told you I was sitting in a cyber cafe. I read Rick Joyner, Mike Bickland, Jack Deere put out a statement for King, and they said we had telling him to stop ministry, stop everything, and they exposed it. I was in such shock. I left my phone, left everything. When my brother-in-law came, who I was with, I left and got to the door of the cyber cafe. Then I realized that I wasn't with the car key. Then that's how shocked, as though I've seen the man. But what I had heard, I didn't know it was possible that someone can walk in such power. This is 2004 or 5. But now I know. And it's what I've been sounding the alarm for years. Your unction does not impress me. It doesn't mean you'll not be on the rubbish dump tomorrow. It is the fruit of the Spirit. Your foundation on the Word of God. That's all I'm interested in. Thank God I've seen some power and unction and authority and spiritual gifting. Thank God. Thank God I understand it. Thank God I've seen young children. I've seen my 4-year-old, 5-year-old give prophetic words, specific words. Thank God I've been opportune to see that. Thank God I'm not impressed as much, because even in this church house, beginning 6-7 years ago, as the gifts of the Lord began to come, we began to see all those same things. Angels, cherubim, name it. We've gotten words, had encounters, preached things before the big international names preach it or see it. Thank God. Thank God in this small house we have seen and heard too. So we are less impressed by the one who shouts on the mic. What you must pursue after, we are about to break bread. What you must pursue after, what you must go after, what you must seek in this world is not power. I've said it endlessly. It's not wealth. It's not impressing people. It is the presence and the pleasure of the Lord your God. Whatever small perfume he sprinkles on you of his gifting, or forget perfume, that's more of his presence. Any gift he gives you, a trinket, a gift, a watch, gives you a pen. Hey, that's for you. That's a gift. That's not you. He won't judge you based on how many things you have. He will judge you for you. He's going to ask you, yes, what did you do? He won't ask you, what do you have? Because what do you have that you were not given? Am I going to be impressed by what I gave you? I gave you a gift of healing. I gave you a gift of word of knowledge. I gave you a gift of prophecy. I gave you a gift of working of miracles of faith, of tongues and interpretation. Then I'm impressed by it. How crazy can you be? You cannot impress him with the gift he gave you. You can only impress him with your character and how you use those gifts. So you take your gift, you use it to, little children, bring your book. Let me write your name artistically on top of your book for you. You like it? Yes, auntie, I really like it. Good. Which style should I write in? Cursive? Should I write as, write like this? It's what you use the gift. So if I have a gift of word of knowledge and I use it to attract glory to myself, or I use it to tell you, listen, I'm picking that this, and I'm trying to help you with the gift. If I'm using it to impress, hey you, I've told you there's a reason you don't see us exercise prophetic ministry. But all of you that have been here on a Sunday morning, no, after that meeting, you were told things. People, many have stood up first day you came and you're crying, shaking, because they gave you the most specific prophetic word you've heard. We don't put it on show, and we will not, because we don't want you coming for that. It's why we keep it small. We could give you a lot. We focus on this because the foundation is on this. If you don't have this and you don't obey, if you don't obey, the fruit matters. The root matters. Love, joy, peace, kindness, self-control. One day, every gift you were given will be a judgment against you, because to whom much is given, much is expected. If you knew, you would have said, God, I don't want. Not that you wouldn't still be disciplined. We are the last day church, people. I like to remind you. And the last day church is the church who will drink the best wine. It's also the church that they will come after, I believe. The same way they came for the church when it was a baby, the early church, and they killed all the apostles. I believe they will come for the last day church also, when the church is more mature. Are you ready? Now, nobody's really ready. But at least, do you want to get ready? Get ready to see wine in such abundance, the glory and grace of Jesus, a river of wine. He's going to turn our water into wine. He will. He promised to. The man said, you kept the best wine for the last. They served the best at the beginning. But that's not how our God does. So the last shall be first. The Lord is going to give wine, power, grace, presence, like we have never seen. But also in the midst of that, that same time Peter would walk and his outshining, that's a better rendering. It's not shadow. It is shadow. You have to only be on one side where the shadow is cast. Sorry, I don't have time to explain things. I've said it before. You know, if it's shadow, then he has to be doing this. Oh, yeah, shift. You come and enter. No, it's as he was walking past. It is outshining. It's a fusion. Now, as Peter would go out and the radiating presence of God, it's in the midst of all that glory that they are trying to kill Peter, that they are locking him up to kill him. In the midst of it, are you ready? He said, if you suffer with me, you will reign with me. The last day church won't just see the glory of God. They will also see persecution. Possibly, Jesus, they didn't succeed in killing him. They killed others. When he was grown up, they succeeded in killing him. I've showed it to you in the book of Revelation, where it said, Lord, how long till you avenge our blood? Revelation 6, he said, until the complete number of your brethren are put to death. The last day church will be a church that will suffer much persecution. In this church, I will preach only the truth. I'll prepare those that sit and listen. Whether you're near or far, you will be prepared by the grace of God, which is why you must uphold me in prayer. Because I'm a human being, and human beings have a habit of falling. A bad habit of falling. They get lifted up. They become too special. Once grace starts working anyhow, too much, you just pass. You don't touch someone, they are falling, everything. Next thing, they start acting. If they don't maintain sense, if they don't have grace and mercy. And I heard Paul Kane say something today. I was also watching a video. I started watching a long time. He was even interviewed. He says when he started mixing with men of God, the power went down. Paul Kane said it. It's the first time here I heard it today. He said as he started mixing, he said as other men of God, he was a boy, as they started telling him, do like this, don't do, he said the pure power he had. And one day the Lord Jesus wakes him up at night and is hitting his chest like this. He said he hits it, he thinks he would die. Physically, he's awake, he's hitting his chest, back, back. And he said, it's been 37 years since you sat with me. Meanwhile, power, everything is happening. We are a church. A local church. This house. We are very small. Small number. Here, overflows. Rooms. But one thing at least I still have, and I pray I'll always have, I have sincerity. And I know the truth makes people free. I know I will not do unrighteousness that God will find glory. If I stop doing everything God wants. There will be more people. There will be more of everything. There will be more money. There will be more of everything material. You see, but we came into this world with nothing. And we got with nothing. I've chosen to practice godliness with contentment. Living day by day as God provides. If you choose to be such a child of God, there will be consequences. And sometimes you'll be uncomfortable. Especially when you look to your left and to your right and say, but look at this person. When you look at someone and say, but I know word more than this person. I'm more anointed than this person. If I lay hands on people intending for the path, I have, but you're watching someone less than you. So something arises and you start trying to prove yourself. If you have not died, learn to embrace death, knowing that to die is gain. You thought it's only physical death? To die is gain. Who wants gain here? Will you die? Jesus died, and today we can break bread and there'll be healing in people's lives today. Spiritual and physical and psychological, because he died. If you die too, lay down your life. Put down your life to do God's will, even when you feel like not doing it. It results in gain. To the extent I died, to the extent all the servants of God we've heard, even that poor king, the extent to which he died, he was a blessing, a prophetic blessing. He told people things he prophesied are still coming to pass after his death. Things he told people, his impact, you can't quantify. In spite of his fall, his impact is incomparable because of the extent to which he died. Do you understand? You can honor someone, but never resort to telling a lie. Honor them, respect them. In my heart, I respect everybody. I often think they are better people than me. But the moment you start mixing with lies in the name of doing unrighteousness to bring God's glory, you're in the realm where God will punish you. Let us be able to appreciate those that have paid the price for us, but also decide to become someone who pays the price yourself. I'd like you to stand to your feet for a minute. Let's pray. I want you to lift your hands before the Lord and let's keep this prayer short. This is a time to pray. Don't do anything else. Let me help you. Say, Father God, we thank you for your word. We appeal to you that we stand and not fall. That we grow to be men of God. Servants of the Most High. Who commence at the assignment and complete it. May we not be like the young prophets. We thank you for people like Paul King. And Samson. May we learn from their experience. May we never repeat the errors of our fathers. And may we never judge them wrongly. Deliver us from the pride. That makes us think we are better than anyone else. Any level of foolishness in us. That esteems ourselves higher than others. Or better than others. We ask for forgiveness. We ask that we take the lessons. From the fathers. Good and bad. And go further. With the baton that they began to run with. In the name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking for every child of yours in this house here right now. Father, I thank you for the examples you've given us. You said there's a glory greater than the glory we know. I ask that the power of mammon, the attraction of money, the desire to have in this age and not plan for the long term, that our eyes be open to see its futility. Amen. Help us see how you see. Help us want what you want. Amen. Help us be as our Lord Jesus. Amen. Give us the best wine you kept for now. Amen. Good Father, give these ones the best wine. Amen. We are appealing every one of us. that you forgive us for the fact we've seen nothing and we've started being prideful without seeing anything, without barely seeing anything. And people who went 1,000 leagues further than we are presently were brought flat on their faces because of carelessness. We receive grace not to be careless.
Amen.
We receive grace to humble ourselves with our brethren.
Amen.
We receive grace to have a good testimony to the end.
Amen.
May our stories be like Peter and like Paul's.
Amen.
May we be able to say, I've run my race and I've finished my course.
Amen.
May it not be said of us, there was once. May we be people who run to the end.
Amen.
Faithfulness. Faithfulness.
Amen.
Righteous faithfulness.
Amen.
Let that be our portion.
Amen.
Thank you, good Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Sit down quickly. Bread and wine very fast. Be very snappy. Ushers, very snappy. When you go back, read 1 Timothy chapter 6 and understand what happened there. He went on to point out that the people who are discontented. All right, for those who don't understand how this works. So the priesthood consecrates the bread and the wine. Okay, we can't say too much. The bread and the wine, it's consecrated. How is it consecrated? By prayer, typically. By words. By words. Okay, so God gave the priest authority to consecrate. To consecrate means to set apart. To sanctify it, to set it apart. Set it apart from what? From being ordinary bread to being the body and the blood of Jesus. Why do we do it? We do it because the Lord says we should. When you do things because the Lord says, just like those wise men, you become a wise man. Those who do what the Lord says because he led you to do it. Those who go into saying, no, I can't see the reasoning. You can't see the reasoning. The reasoning is inconsequential if it's the Lord that said you should do it. He tells you, blind man, go and bathe in the pool of Siloam. Does everyone to this I have wine? Everyone here? I have to pray. Is it still raining? It wants to rain again. I mean, I remember those days you used to pray and hold the rain for 15 minutes. These days, upstairs here, we don't even know what happens. I think it was nicer to be in the warehouse. Everything was more obvious. Here, you don't know anything and we are becoming very carnal. You guys, you don't get bothered, right? In the warehouse, you would know it's raining. Everyone can see to a gate. So I'll say, all right, rush. I'll pray. Then the rain will stop. Bah. Then you go. Here. Everybody just goes, suffers, goes and waits on outside. Everybody's on his own. I was talking about bread being consecrated. The bread and the wine becomes the body and the blood. This is what the Lord said. He said, this is my blood. This is my body. What is it for? I just finished telling you a story about the body of Christ being persecuted. He said, this is my body which is broken. When was it broken? As they flogged him before his crucifixion, his body was broken, cut into many pieces. His back just messed up. As he hung on the cross and they pierced him directly, and even when that soldier pierced his side with the sword or with the spear, the blood flowed and the water. The Lord Jesus acquired us this. Now, if anyone will come after me, what did he say? Take up your cross and follow me. Guess what happens? So when you're going to carry a cross, that's when you get broken and bloody. That's called laying down your life, that you might take it up again. Did Jesus take up his life again? How old was Joseph when he came out from that place? 30. Are we settled down? So I want to teach you people to be using the counting method. That's where you count things ahead. You know, like 1 hour ago, knowing the number of people. So you take the number. Huh? I taught you today. You do it next time. Not vigorously. Be counting. You know that method I taught you that time for people? It works. How many of you thought reading math was for passing? No, it's for using. Not just for market list. Women. Not just for market list. School and market list. Mm-mm. For planning your life. Count how many shirts you have. Blouses. How many trousers. How many skirts. Count. Do math. Your life will be better. If you use math, your life will be... How many of you don't like math? Don't raise your hand anyhow before you pour wine. Receive grace to like math.
Amen.
I hated math still, but I use it in life. Okay, I think I'm going to still pray, even if this people want to keep moving around. Be keeping their bread and wine with them from today. Don't bring it up here again. Thank you, Jesus. Don't bring their bread and wine up here. They are too far away. Hmm? It's not that I went and put my hand over it there. The same way people get healed. When we pray and the power of God moves, people fall in the overflow too. That's the same way. Okay? So from now, bread and wine, excess, all in your different, the three places. All right, the people in Abuja, Lagos, and wherever else you are, Father, we are grateful for the bread and the wine. We thank you for your body and blood. You've given it to us so that we might be strong and prepared. We receive that which you've given us. We receive that which you've given us. We appreciate that which you've given us and the price you paid for us to get it. You can afford the price. You became for us a living sacrifice. To help us to be wise. To find you. Father, may this bread and wine heal us of blindness.
Amen.
Deafness.
Amen.
Dumbness.
Amen.
Foolishness.
Amen.
Separate us from the things that destroy men and women.
Amen.
Young and old.
Amen.
Rich and poor.
Amen.
May we be found ready. With the strength you give us through the laying down of your life. Thank you. Amen. Take the bread, take the wine. I was corrected that it wasn't DC Talk that when the movie God's Not Dead, but DC Talk wrote the book. Now, that guy that was in Newsboys was once part of DC Talk. So that's the slide. Say a word of prayer. I encourage you all, do not hear the truth and go and do nothing. You'll be judged for what you did, not for what you heard. Pay attention to me. You'll be judged for what you did, not for what you heard. Nobody gets judged for what they heard. Nobody gets to be a goat or a sheep because of what you heard. You get judged for what you do. If you live to serve, to please and carry out the purposes of God in this earth, if you seek the star of the Son of God, and you follow it wherever it leads you. Even when it leads you in the middle of the night out to a foreign land, leads you through another way, leads you away from royalty and those in power. You will live if you are led. But it will seem like you're dying when you are led. If you continue to follow the leadings of God, you are wise. For every scary story you heard, there are many happy stories of people who obeyed till the end. People who were consistent and died humbly. Who stayed humble. Who grew more humble as the longer they lived. They're getting more powerful, more anointed. God will help you and not allow your story to be told much. That's how he helps. Oh, he stops the things you do from being known. And one of the safest ways I know you can stay humble all the days of your life is to not isolate yourself, but to live in a company and community of people that are like you. So when all of you are prophetic, what makes you special? We saw it in this house. those who know Bible plenty, those who are prophetic, they see vision. As I'm talking like this, I tell people, that, so, it's fun. You're entering here. They are sitting there. They are seeing all sorts of things about you. You won't know. Sometimes they give you a word. Some, you may be here for 3 years. They say, they tell you that the first day you came, as you were walking in that door, seven people, they were seeing all sorts of things about, no prayer. They just see. That's going on constantly. I only say it because some of you esteem people so highly because of the stories they tell. You've been configured to respond to stories. Now, it's not wrong. I love hearing stories. When I hear things by any preacher, I'm like, yay, I get excited for it. But once in a while, the Holy Spirit goes like, so, didn't that happen 2 days ago? I'm like, oh, I can be that daft. It happens a lot. You don't try to sell yourself. You don't try to sell your, you will die. You'll be destroyed. Don't allow yourself to be lifted. That poor king, those his sons that were real sons, told him, stay quiet. Another group of people showed up and said, come out, Joe, come out, you're restored. Then up till 2 weeks before he died, Rejoiner said he still had to post someone at the door of his hotel room so he won't come out that night and cause trouble. But the people who restored him, restored him. That's love. Who wants to be restored like that? No, you don't want to be restored like that. That's not restoration. That's destruction. If he had stayed and obeyed the ones who loved him for real, the authentic ones, he may have been truly restored. He said, he called him and said, you don't want to restore me, Abi? And he said, Paul, you're not still okay. If it can happen to you, you guys, you call people generals, you say all sorts of things. Hey, God. Paul came with talk. And there will be thunder and there will be the voice of God answer like Jesus in the Bible. So there is more than we can do. It would be wise. Are you a medical student? Come back. Go back. Don't worry, I don't habitually tell people to go back. You're like maybe the fourth person I've ever told to come back when you're going. In maybe 5 years. So you're very blessed. When I tell someone to come back, it means God is really blessing. You don't need their arm rubbers. Just, my anointing does not usually tell me why I'm doing it. It just works. So, yes. Father, I ask that you bless your children as they go. Bless the work of their hands.
Amen.
Provide grace and mercy.
Amen.
Do more in them than they can ask for, imagine.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every offering that has been given or will be given, I ask that you receive it for your glory and praise.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
We pray you receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and an understanding heart. Remember, test all things and hold fast to what is good. For more information, visit our website at gods-lighthouse.org.